It's Friday, and fellas, I'm going to take an optimistic, happy approach. Week 5 has been pretty horrible for me, so let's bring in week 6. How's that sound?
Way to look forward, yeah.
What's been so bad about week 5, Adam?
I don't know. I'm just not having a good week. So one of those fantasy weeks, you know, like in one of my categories leagues, my head-to-head categories leagues, last week I went 13-1 in a 7x7 categories league. This week I'm 2-12. In the category. So it's just not my week. Things aren't going my way. You know, it happens, right? It happens to everyone. Please tell me.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah, Scott doesn't know about that.
Yeah, Scott.
No. I'm sure you don't. No, I'm not doing great in our head-to-head categories league. That's what I was about to harp on. Every time we play this format, I'm reminded. I really don't like it. Partly for the reason you're bringing up, Adam. Like. In what other format is the same team going to be that good and that bad from one week to the next?
Roto.
Like it feels so random.
Actually, I don't agree. Like in our podcast points league, I don't know. I think it was like week 3. I had an absolutely terrible week. And week 4, I had a massive week. It just doesn't feel that bad because you go 0-1 and 1-0. You don't lose right. All the categories or win all the categories.
And you got a chance to win in the podcast league this week.
Yeah, I might. I mean, I think that might be my best team. But Al's got me by like 30 points right now, so I got to catch up.
But you got 2 starts in hand.
Yeah, all right. Bring it on, Al. Okay, so today's going to be a fun show. Today's going to be a very fun show. Emails fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I got some good things in store. We're going to talk about Jacob deGrom. I want to continue talking about Masahiro Tanaka. We started discussing yesterday. I went crazy for Chris Devensky last night, picked him up in 3 leagues. You guys can tell me how dumb that was. and really a lot more.
Or maybe not.
I hope not, but I probably went a little overboard. I do want to start with an email. Oh no, I want to start with a question. Did you guys have Mexican food yesterday?
I did not.
Mm-mm. Nope.
What is wrong with you?
Wow. And it wasn't Mexican pizza.
And it wasn't. Well, it was
no.
Italian pizza.
Come on,
you know,
guys.
I really would have liked to have gone someplace and gotten some tacos, but I'm sure it would have been a madhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we had to pick up and bring it back home. No doubt about that. But
I had Mexican 2 days ago.
That's what happened to me, Scott. I screwed up. I didn't even realize Cinco de Mayo was coming up. So on Wednesday, on Cuatro de Mayo, I got Mexican food. And I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going back for another one. Let's do 2 back-to-back orders.
You know, I can never remember when Cinco de Mayo is every year.
It sneaks up on me.
I think it might change or something.
I don't know. It's like Hanukkah. All right, email of the day. Email of the day is from Ben. He said, Team Name Tuesday has run its course. I think it's time you were made aware of a league with special team name rules. Our 14-team head-to-head categories league requires all team names to reference a baseball movie in some way. Care to test the guys on how well they know their baseball flicks? Match our team names with the corresponding baseball movie. Some are used more than once. All right. 14.
And you know my movie knowledge is terrible, and I am totally psyched for this.
Yes, 14 team names. I will read them to you. You tell me which baseball movie they are from. Here we go. You Play Ball Like a Girl.
League of Their Own.
Bad News Bears?
Are you guys kidding? Wow, we are off to a bad start.
It was neither of those?
That is The Sandlot.
Oh.
Just a bit outside.
Major League.
Yes, good job. Tokyo Giants.
I'm not sure, but I'm going to guess Mr. 3000.
I'm going to say Mr. Baseball.
Mr. Baseball it is.
Ah.
I don't know Mr. 3000. By the way, I didn't know that one. I would have gotten that wrong. Next one is Don't Steal Home Without It.
That's Major League, right?
Yeah.
That is Major League. All right. This one's tough. I got this one. Okay.
I got it.
Let's Al answer that. Funky Butt Loving.
Yeah. I mean, I can picture the scene and I can't place it in the movie. I'll say Bad News Bears.
Yeah. It's Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Yep. All right, yeah. Number 6 is the Milwaukee Beers.
Well, that's no. Is that Mr. 3000? No, he was just on the Brewers, wasn't he?
Yeah. No, I no clue with this one.
This one is Basketball. I did not know that one.
That's stretching the baseball
I agree.
Genre there.
I agree. Number 7 is the tough one. Can't Pee Standing Up.
that, Bad News Bears.
Major League 2. Major League 2. Okay. We're not going to get that one. These are getting tough. Number 8. His girlfriend's a 6 at best.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be on a slump here. Not that I was doing great before because I don't know this one at all.
His girlfriend's a 6 at best.
Major League.
No, that would be Moneyball.
Oh yeah. That's straight out of the book.
Okay.
I think.
Number 9.
At least the conversation was similar.
Number 9 is the Reseda Buzz. And Reseda has nothing to do with the reference, so it's just the buzz. Major League 2.
Nope.
Oh, no, that's Major League Back to the Minors. Number 10 is Ishibashi as Isuro Tanaka. That's Major League 2. We'll skip that. All right, 4 more. Nick Lelouch's Legends.
Nuke. And that's Bull Durham.
Mm-hmm. That is. I wouldn't have gotten that. I've only seen Bull Durham once. Bobby Rayburn was safe.
Don't know this one.
Nope.
That's The Fan. Fan.
Okay.
And 2 more. Number 13, Hot Stinky Cheddar.
I'm going to guess Sandlot, but I don't really know.
Come on, Scott.
Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year, yes.
Yeah.
Rookie of the Year. Last one, The Rockford Peach Rejects.
That's League of Their Own, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a League of Their Own. All right, good stuff.
Rejects was part of that.
No, it's not. It's just Rockford Peaches, but.
Oh, I see. It's okay. Yeah. Using it for a fantasy baseball team name. I got
yes, that. Yes, exactly. Rejects League, sure. Let's talk about Wednesday's standouts, guys. Fire away.
Let's talk about Chris Devensky.
Wait, Thursday's standouts, not Wednesday's standouts. Cinco de Mayo standouts. Chris Devensky.
Well, then let's still talk about Chris Devensky.
He's 5% owned, thanks to me.
Yeah, well, I was going to give you a compliment, not even a sarcastic one, you know, like certain other members
the sarcasm
of our podcast team. Because I think that, you know, you took a flyer on him even before he made his first start. And, you know, Scott and I think we're both saying, you know, first of all, why? And second, who is Chris Devensky? And, yeah, he's been really good. And I don't know where exactly this has come from because, as we've pointed out at least a couple of times, his minor league numbers weren't very good. But he seems to have a very good changeup. He's really been able to use that to get swings and misses. And he's a fly ball pitcher, but he's been able to use that to get some ground balls. And he controls the pitch very well. So the results so far, whether it's in the bullpen or in the rotation, have been very good.
I think very good might be a little bit of a stretch. I mean, this isn't Adam Conley. This last start was his best one, and he still had more base runners than innings pitched. So
Whoa. This was only his second start. So and he had 7 base runners.
Still,
he had 7 base runners.
To say he's been very good when his best start is a whip over 1.
Whoa. His best. I mean, come on, 6. This was a very good start.
No, it's a whip over 1. I'm
so
just
what?
Throwing facts at you.
Who doesn't have a whip over 1?
This is not very good. This is good enough to catch my attention. This is not, wow, this guy's exciting. I need to pick him up.
That's pretty good.
See,
start.
To be exciting is a level beyond very good.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to clarify. I wasn't trying to, you know, you say very good, and I'm not sure everybody at home or in their cars or wherever knows what it means.
I think it was a very good start. 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, 12 swinging strikes against the Mariners. And only his second start. But fine.
Okay.
5% owned. Let me tell you where I'm at with Devensky. I don't know how long this is going to last, but here's my issue. I almost would prefer him to be a one-start pitcher next week because, all right, so Devensky has 2 starts, Cleveland and at Boston, at home against Cleveland and at Boston. And I don't know if I trust him enough to start him and risk 2 bad starts. You know what I mean? Like, if it was just 1 start, I'd probably go with him in a relief pitcher spot or something. But does that make sense to you? Like, I wish it were a 1 start week instead of 2 for him because I just don't know yet.
Yeah, I think in a relief pitcher spot, so obviously we're talking a points league where you can afford a bad start a little more. I think I'd be okay with that. I'm going to take the optimist approach now.
Sure. Sure. But what about in a roto league? Would you be willing to pick up and start Chris Devensky of the Astros?
I wouldn't even pick him up. The relief pitcher eligibility is all that appeals to me right now.
Yeah. See, I like what Adam did picking him up when there was no cost. And especially if we're talking about a league where maybe you're spending fab. I mean, you and I, Scott, I don't think we worry much about waiver priority, but especially if there's a real resource involved here, like fab dollars, I'd take the flyer on him now because I like what I've seen. And if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to spend much on him, and then I can ditch him. And yeah, I would stash him next week rather than start him. But I'd like to keep him stashed unless, you know, in the event that two starts from now, he's still this good.
Yep. I dropped, Javier Baez in our shallow podcast league. I dropped Caleb Cotham for, and a $2 bid on Davinsky. And I dropped Aaron Blair, I believe, in the other league.
I wasted so much money on Caleb Cotham.
Yeah. So that's where I'm. I mean, it's not a huge investment.
Who was the first guy you said you dropped? I know Cotham,
Javier
Blair.
Baez.
Who?
Javier Baez.
Okay, I don't think any of those are outlandish. Roto League, I'd hold on to Baez.
Me
but
too.
The other two are fine.
I wouldn't drop Baez for him, no.
All right, can I talk about Jacob DeGrom? Guy's got a 1.99 ERA, and this week we've seen Harvey and DeGrom disappoint against the Braves and now the Padres for DeGrom. This was a bad start. He said his location was bad. I watched a few innings of it. His location wasn't good. His breaking pitches stunk. There's something missing there with DeGrom because he's had a really easy schedule so far. He has a 1.99 ERA, but 16 strikeouts and 22 and a third, and he's just not going deep into games at all. So is the alarm sounding for you guys on Jacob DeGrom?
It's not. And I hear what you're saying. I mean, the results have been, for him, underwhelming ERA aside. But I can't pinpoint where, you know, there's a problem that it would, you know, we talked yesterday about, you know, sort of stats that are predictive. I don't see here anything that indicates a problem in the future.
Velocity.
The velocity is down a little, but it's not, it's still high. I mean,
Not really.
I kind of think it's just, you know, obviously he had that long layoff at the start of the year, and he's just kind of slower getting into midseason form. And a lot of aces have struggled to get into midseason form. I mean, they're mostly coddled in spring training, and they don't unveil their full arsenals. And I'm not saying that's DeGrom's problem, but I'm just saying it's part of the same phenomenon, I think, that we've seen with a lot of aces this time of year, where you come mid-June, we're not going to have a question about any of these guys, probably, or at least I couldn't predict which one it'll be. And DeGrom, I think, is just in that same discussion.
By the way, I forgot to mention, we will help you set your lineup for week 6. Look at the two-star pitchers. There are a bunch of them that could be available in your leagues. All right, Scott, so we've got Davinsky from Al. I nominated DeGrom as a Thursday standout. Give me a standout for you.
Okay.
Are you surprised?
Super prepared. Let's talk about Adam Conley.
Yeah, okay.
We need to talk about him. Because now, after he followed up the 7 1/3 no-hit innings, I guess.
Mm-hmm. 7 2/3.
Two hits this time. So now he's given up two hits in his last 13 innings and two starts with a strikeout per 88 pitches in this start, which probably to make up for the 116 he threw last time. So I guess if there was anything you could be disappointed about, it was the innings, but that's understandable. I think coming off that extra long start, it's encouraging that he was as good as he was. And, you know, Eno Saris, who writes for FanGraphs and probably a few other places, is, you know, I hate to just claim what he's talking about, but he's done such a good job pinpointing the reasons for a lot of these breakouts, and he really broke down how much Conley's delivery has changed from last season. And it's just a much more efficient, and he's getting more power out of it because of it, delivery. And so I think that only confirms to me what I've been seeing both in the numbers and watching him pitch, that this is a legit breakthrough, and this is somebody who you're going to regularly count on this season.
I don't understand how Adam Conley is only owned in 68% of leagues. He's owned in the same amount of leagues as AJ Griffin and Steven Wright. He's now up to 71%, I guess, after last night.
But Griffin and Wright were two-star pitchers this week, so those numbers aren't probably a stand for them. Maybe not the most apt comparisons, but I agree that I think Conley should be more owned, and I imagine by this time you know, on Monday he will be.
Okay, I would hope so. It's because people have been a little bit slow, I guess, to pick him up. But Adam Conley, all right, would you rather have Adam Conley or Jay Happ, who had another good start? He's got a 250 ERA.
Adam Conley by many multiples.
I keep waiting for this to all fall apart for Happ, and it just keeps not. It's just as good every time out. But all the underlying numbers suggest he's reverted to the form he had before hooking up with Searidge in Pittsburgh last year. So it makes it really hard to trust.
Would you rather have Jared Eichhoff or Adam Conley?
Conley.
Yeah, I think yesterday with Conley, Conley's good start versus Eichhoff's not so good, but not terrible. Still quality start. That leapfrog Conley, but they're very close. They both need to be owned from my perspective.
Eichhoff 76% owned, and yeah, Eichhoff, you know, I'm going to try to trade Eichhoff to Scott in the podcast league.
I'll take him.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I'm not basing it on yesterday. He didn't really have his curveball yesterday. Listening to the Phillies broadcasters, and obviously, I mean, that's his pitch, and he still managed to go six innings, three runs, two strikeouts. What just wasn't a great start for him, but I don't know what it is. Why am I slow to buy? Why am I doubting Jared Eichhoff? Is it just because he came out of nowhere? Should I get over that?
Yeah, I think, and he didn't entirely come out of nowhere, but I mean, he wasn't. You know, wasn't on the same level as, I'm just trying to think of that Rangers trade.
Yeah, the other play. He was not the headliner. It was Jorge Alfaro, a catcher prospect, and a pitcher prospect, Thompson, right?
Yes, Jake Thompson.
And they were both considered higher end prospects at the time.
Yeah, so that was, you know, pretty much my point. He was a prospect, but not a super hyped one.
And Nick Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Who may have been the highest prospect of all of them. So Eichhoff was just this throw-in, but then he hasn't not dominated in the majors yet. Like, his career numbers are awesome, both between last year and early this year. You mentioned he didn't have his curveball in this start, and you know, I've said this basically every time Rich Hill starts. That's a feel pitch, and so it's not going to always be there. And last start, the strikeouts were down for Eichhoff, too. But I noticed in both of those starts, this one and last, he threw his curveball not nearly as often, which would suggest to me that it wasn't working then either. So I don't think the reduced strikeouts these last two starts are really anything to worry about. They're just another part of the equation for him.
Masahiro Tanaka has a 2.29 ERA, 7 walks, 35 strikeouts, and 39 and a third. And he's only allowed 2 home runs after he gave up a ton of home runs last year. So 8 scoreless innings at Baltimore, 11 ground ball outs and no flyouts. And it is amazing how good his command has been. Everything down in the zone, down in the zone, down in the zone. He doesn't throw a 4-seam fastball anymore.
Can't complain.
I can't complain. I don't know how sustainable it is. What do you guys think? I kind of feel like if his location's off, he's going to get hammered, and it just hasn't really happened yet. But so far, I mean, he's getting so many more ground balls. He's a completely different pitcher. Masahiro Tanaka, are you buying it so far?
I would say when most pitchers' command is off, they're going to get hammered, though.
No, but this is more than that because he doesn't have a fastball.
I think Tanaka, we always knew he had great control. He can strike out batters. He's doing that this year.
He's doing that. You're satisfied with his strikeouts because it's less than a strikeout per inning. That's usually
it is less than a strikeout per inning, but it's enough that you don't worry about his contact rate. You don't worry about that bad luck coming back and biting him. The biggest issue he had last year was home runs, and it seems like by abandoning his 4-seam fastball, by throwing these pitches with more sinking action consistently, he's become like a ground ball pitcher. So, you know, control, bat missing ability, and ground ball generating ability, they're all there. That's like the trifecta of awesomeness, because that's I mean that means he's going to win on all three legs of the FIP triangle. So I think stock's up here for sure.
Definitely is. I mean, he's found a way to you know, get by without the 4-seamer and without the same velocity, and the funny thing is, I mean, he isn't just doing it, you know, just strictly by getting ground balls. I mean, he's getting swings and misses at a rate that's rivals what he did yeah. 2014 and, yeah. and much better than last year.
It's true. It's just weird that he doesn't pitch up in the zone at all, and that's what worries me. It's like, you got to change the hitter's eye level. We've heard that, you know, and he doesn't really do it.
I think that is a more appealing to pitchers who are bad. That's for the Marco Estradas allowing 2.5 home runs per nine for the Brewers. Then they try a tactic like that. But if keeping it down is working for you, then that's still, I mean, there's a reason that's been preached for so long.
All right, rest of season, Tanaka or Verlander?
Tanaka.
Agreed.
Tanaka or Joe Ross? How good has Joe Ross been, by the way?
Very good. That's a tougher one.
You complain about Tanaka's strikeouts, but he's been better than Joe Ross in that category.
Yes, he has. I didn't complain about Tanaka's strikeouts. I just never know what you think are good strikeouts, because I feel like you always want it to be a strikeout per inning.
That's fair. That strikeout, the league average strikeout per nine has gone up so much. I actually looked this up when I was writing about AJ Griffin, because I remember, I'm not excited about his numbers now, but I remember he was considered a pretty good option in 2013 when he last pitched, when he had, I think, 7.6 strikeouts per nine innings. But back then, the league average was basically 7.6 strikeouts per nine innings, and now it's 8.2. So I wrote about just amazing in that short of time how much changed.
I wrote about Griffin yesterday and had the exact same thought. I expected that K-9 ratio that year to be higher.
Yeah.
Because I remembered him being surprisingly helpful with strikeouts.
Right, right.
So what's the answer, Joe Ross or Tanaka?
Tanaka, yeah.
Joe Ross or Verlander?
Oh, we moved off of Tanaka now.
I'll stick with Verlander for now, but that could change very soon.
Man, I'll go Ross.
I'm liking Joe Ross. This guy, this continues something we saw last year. He is so good against righties. Righties are hitting 122 against Joe Ross. I remember last year he went a long time without giving up an extra base hit to righties. It's pretty cool. You know, most hitters are right-handed, just so you know. So that's a good thing.
Thank you for that. For the heads up on that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, Joe Ross or the guy he faced last night, Kyle Hendricks.
All right, I got some issues with Hendricks.
I know, Scott.
Al's a big fan.
I am.
And I understand why Al's a big fan. The ratios are good. And they're still good. What was the start yesterday? 2 hits in 6 innings?
Scott, you don't like 87 pitches per start?
No, that's the issue. Because he went 6, and it was one of his longest starts of the year. Only once this year has he thrown even 90 pitches in a start. And it was his very first start when... I'd have to go back and check, but I assume the first time through, the Cubs weren't letting any of their starters pitch as deep into games, so the bullpen was maybe more taxed at that point. I feel like they have such good innings eaters at the top of their rotation that they just don't care to push Hendricks that hard. But if he's not getting the innings, I mean, as good as the Cubs have been this year, he's only now, with this win, 2-2. And last year, as good as the numbers were, the Cubs were still a good team. He went 8-7. So not going 6 innings consistently really kills his wins potential, much less what not having the innings themselves does for his production.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for it. One, Joe Maddon loves his bullpen and goes to it often. But two, Kyle Hendricks' problem last year was that he was pretty bad the third time through the order. And I think they're just trying to avoid that. I'll look up the exact number for you, but he had an 8.25 ERA the third time through the order last year. So that's probably why, my guess anyway, why Maddon doesn't let him go that deep. So Hendricks, 3.10 ERA so far, 6 walks, 23 strikeouts in 29 innings. Would you still consider him a top 50 starting pitcher?
Let's see. Let me look, because I know he's on the cusp of that for me. So that's a good, you know, over under point to set. And while I am looking that up, I will say that I am very reluctant to start him in one start weeks. I have him number 50.
Who's around him in your rankings?
Above Corbin, Wainwright, who I probably will drop further. Berríos, Porcello, Rich Hill, Tyson Ross are above. Below, Shields, McCullers, Rodon, I might drop.
That list sounds upside down to me. Which, you know, you get past, I think, probably top 35, 40 at starting pitcher. There's going to be a lot of movement.
Right. Yes.
And a lot of personal opinion at play. Well, you want to know where I have Kyle Hendricks?
Yeah.
81st.
Whoa. Wow.
And I don't remember any point where I dramatically moved him down. But it's reasonable to say I'm not going to be moving him up. I have him behind, well, this is points league, so I have him behind Finnegan, who probably is behind him in Roto. But I have him behind Scott Kazmir, Jay Happ, Shelby Miller, Colin McHugh, Raisel Iglesias, Marco Estrada.
Okay.
I think we should just rely on Heath here to be the voice of reason. He has him 67th.
There you go. Split the difference. So let's do some of the news items here. Minnesota waived Tommy Malone. That can't be bad news for Tyler Duffy and Jose Berríos, right?
No, it's very encouraging for them.
Jung Ho Gong could be back today. They're gonna ease him in a little bit, so we'll see how much he plays at first. But also, he was really bad in his rehab assignment. But where do you guys have Gong ranked at, let's say, shortstop, which is now a lot deeper with Manny Machado, the number one shortstop. But where is Jung Ho Gong for you guys in your rankings?
Seventh.
Wow.
Seventh behind what I think is an impossible threshold to crack of a top six. That's Machado, Correa, Tulo, Lindor, Seager, and Bogarts. Mm-hmm. So Gong is the next guy up.
Yeah, I've got him seventh as well.
Okay, wow. So how much better is he than, you know, the guy who's been one of the biggest surprises, Gene Segura?
I mean, unless it's a roto league where you're prioritizing steals, I mean, I think he just is going to wipe the floor with Segura everywhere else.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
The big issue for me is that I don't know how much to trust Segura still. I feel confident in what Gong's going to do for me when he does start playing every day.
Kind of cool, Scott, you mentioned that Byung-ho Park, his power has translated from Korea. Well, mm-hmm. Gong was like the first test case, right? So
yep.
I guess we could say we're two for two, these power hitters coming over from Korea, and it translates.
Not to the same degree. Gong was a 40-homer guy in Korea, yeah. So it wasn't complete. But yeah, the fact he does have more power than most shortstops, that's for sure. Most shortstop-eligible players, because he's going to be playing third base.
I just wanted to say, I don't perceive Gong as risk-free by any means, just because we don't know how well he's going to hit coming off of a really, really serious, gruesome injury.
That's true. All right, Garrett Richards not going to start tonight due to fatigue. Ben Revere expected to come off the DL today. Fox Sports reporting that when Johnny Peralta gets back, the Cardinals will try to find ways to start both Peralta and Aledmys Diaz.
What way could that possibly be?
Well, I mean, it sounds like they're thinking of playing either of them all over the infield.
We'll see what Colton Wong's doing by that point, but I have a feeling he's going to be pretty easy to remove.
I was expecting to read that. And so when it sounded like, you know, first and third base were options, and I certainly don't like hearing that about third base as somebody who's really heavily invested in Matt Carpenter.
Oh, move Carpenter to second. It's perfect.
Or first. First, I think, would be more likely.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it just seems like in the end, it's bad news for Brandon Moss, and not that Matt Adams is really much of a factor anyway, but I would think Moss is probably the guy who would lose the most playing time.
You know what? There's a lot of time between now and then. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
and Derek Dietrich started against a lefty. He went 2-for-3 with an RBI. Okay, guys.
That's good to see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what he did against the lefty. I assume there was at least one hit in there, but yeah, good to see. Well, we've had fun so far today, but not enough fun.
No.
So what I want you to do is I want you to pull up a list of all the teams, because it's time to play Fantasy Feud for the first time this year.
Oh, and you even know our favorite strategy. That's awesome.
You got to, yep, pull up the list of teams just to give you some ideas for guessing. I got three categories for you. Let's play the feud. The first category, top five second baseman in points league so far.
Ian Kinsler.
Al says Ian Kinsler. Al was wrong. Scott?
Jose Altuve.
Jose Altuve is the number one answer. Kinsler's six, by the way, Al.
So way to control the board. Was it,
pass or play, I'll, Scott? Pass or play?
I'll play.
Okay.
Dustin Pedroia.
He's number five. He was the inspiration for this. He's actually tied for fourth.
Whew. He's only number five. Okay. Neil Walker.
That is incorrect. Neil Walker's
wow.
incorrect.
I thought that was a good guess.
Now, I think he's top five in Roto, but not in points. One strike. Okay.
Daniel Murphy.
Daniel Murphy is correct. That's the number three answer. You have 1-3 and tied for four.
Okay.
Two more.
I will guess next. My answer will be...
You have 3 seconds.
Ben Zobrist, it's wrong, I'm sure.
Ben Zobrist is wrong, but he's number seven, actually, after
okay.
a home run
right.
in two
yeah,
straight games.
A lot of walks, a lot of RBI, a lot of runs scored.
Two strikes. Al, are you getting ready to steal over there?
Al?
I'm ready.
Ooh, okay. I'm seeing a lot of potential answers here. I wish I hadn't wasted that last guess.
5 seconds.
Okay, I'm going to go with Gene Segura.
Dude, nice work. All right, you need one more. You need one more. Top five second baseman in points leagues. The number two answer still on the board.
I'm pretty confident I know who it is.
Oh, man.
5 seconds.
I had it. The answer, is
nope,
Logan Forsythe.
Too late. No, that is incorrect. Let's go to the Melchiors. Al, who's it going to be for the steal?
Robinson Cano.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, I always get stolen from.
Robinson Cano with a...
I thought I was screwed. I thought for sure you'd get Cano.
Yeah, me too. Cano has 30 RBI already. Holy heck.
Yeah, and he's getting that batting average up now, too. He's...
Yep, 287.
He's, I feel like a moron forever doubting him.
Well, how about Dustin Pedroia at 322, four home runs, 14 RBI, eight walks, 19 strikeouts. Pretty good so far. Number five, second base, number four, tied with Gene Segura.
Yeah, and I didn't really think he would bounce back to that level, and it's just 1 month, but I still worry about injury with him.
Yeah.
The only worry. I mean, last year... He was as good as Kinsler on a per game basis, and more power.
Okay, all right. So let's next category. We're going over to Roto leagues now. I have to actually pull up the correct answers. So, good job on the first round. Okay, here we go. Top six in rotisserie. Top six so far. Roto first baseman.
Okay.
Anybody go?
Paul Goldschmidt.
You know that's not right. Wrong. Al?
Oh, it's right in points. All right, I know who number one is now. But Al, I wasted my guess.
This is not how Fantasy Feud is played.
I know.
It's a pace game. Al, give me an answer.
Oh, this is absolutely terrible. Lucas Duda.
You guys are pathetic. That
is
incorrect.
So it goes back to me. Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo is your number one first baseman in rotisserie leagues.
Okay, I will play.
Oh, he's going to play.
Horrible guess. Chris Carter.
Number three, Chris Carter.
Okay. And now I get to look through the list again, and I'm going to come up with a guess.
This is hard.
And yeah, that guess is going to be...
well, that's one strike. I'm giving you one strike in the interest of speeding this up.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. You're still on the clock.
Oh, man. Why can't I think of any first baseman?
Because a lot of the good ones are terrible so far.
They are. All right, Adrian Gonzalez, in the interest of speeding this up.
Incorrect. I don't even know if he's top 20.
Okay. And finally, I'm going to say... good grief. Chris Davis.
Oh.
Good guess, but no.
Okay, no.
So it goes over to Al to steal. We only need one. So far, we have Rizzo and Carter off the board. We only need one, Al.
How about Byung-Ho Park?
No, not Byung-Ho Park. No. Here are your top. So the point goes to Scott White. Let's talk about this. Your top six first basemen so far in Roto are Rizzo, Trumbo, Carter, Will Myers, Brandon Belt, and Brandon Moss.
I thought about Moss.
You gotta lose your job, pal. we just got finished saying.
You know, Chris keeps talking about Will Myers as a sell high candidate, and I'm hoping he's wrong because I have a lot of Will Myers. Can you guys convince me that Chris Towers is wrong?
I'm not going to. It's up to Scott.
Well, I mean, the walk to strikeout is horrible. And so that's usually the biggest red flag for any hitter performing well this time of year. But the power's been very good. And Will Myers, we know he's supposed to be good. So I think this deep into year, if the strikeouts haven't caught up to him yet, and actually it's gotten a little better and over the last week or so, he's struck out at a lower rate. I don't think, given his versatility, given the state of first base right now, I don't think I'd be particularly motivated to move him. And I know I'm the most reluctant to sell high, and part of that's probably just because I'm used to playing with owners who don't fall for that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe I'm underestimating what you could sell him for. But
right,
I know in one of our head-to-head points leagues, I picked him up off the waiver wire last week.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that you're going to be able to get as much as... But it doesn't hurt to try. And, you know, it shouldn't really be a big mystery what's appropriate to sell him for, because we have these things called position-by-position rankings. So if you can get somebody I rank ahead of him for him, then congratulations. You've sold high.
All right, you know, here we go. Who's going to win
it? I'm sorry.
Now let's just go to round three.
Yeah.
Who's going to win it? Roto leagues again. I want the top five outfielders in Roto.
Bryce Harper.
Al, pass or play? It's the number one answer.
I'm going to pass.
Oh, you jerk.
I always do that.
Passing is a big mistake.
You just don't like to play.
Passing's a mistake.
I like to play. It seems to work better for
Mark
me.
Mark Trumbo.
Yeah. Hey, good job. He's number three.
Transitivity.
Yes. Mookie Betts.
No, close. He's number eight or nine in Roto.
This is Roto?
Roto, yeah.
Roto?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, top six.
Top five.
Top five, okay.
Harper, Trumbo.
Okay. Mike Trout's back up there now, right?
He's number five. Very good, okay. Very good. See, Al, this is why you play.
We'll see.
I mean, I got him.
Two more here.
One
strike.
Carlos Gonzalez?
No, I think he's cooled off
quite
a bit.
Yeah, he's fallen off a bit.
He's like 12th or 15th or something. Two strikes. Two
Dexter
more to go.
Fowler.
No, he is number
what?
Six. He's number
what?
Six. Great guess, though. I
yeah.
applaud your effort.
Yeah.
I was confident.
All right, Al. So this is for the win. So far, we have Harper, Trumbo, and Trout off the board. The number two and four answers are on the board. Give me Roto outfielders.
Yoenis Cespedes.
Booyah! Number two, Yoenis Cespedes with a .299
really?
Average and nine home runs. And he was the inspiration for this because, you know, I kind of felt like, yeah, he's a good player. Solid, like, fifth-ish, sixth-round pick, but not going to be nearly as good as he was with the Mets. And he's still not quite there, I guess. But I mean, number two outfielder, he's playing much better than I thought at this point. Yeah, what do you think about Cespedes?
That's pretty much what I thought when, you know, I was going through box scores this morning and, you know, seeing another good game for him and good stats all around. And it's also just interesting what's going on with the Mets lineup. Cause I didn't realize they were either first or second last year in fly ball rate. They're first or second again this year. You got Neil Walker with that, seemingly out of nowhere power outburst. Cespedes, I think probably has hit better for the Mets than he has for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go down the lineup, David Wright hitting with power this year. And I think Kevin Long must be doing some interesting things there with the Mets hitters.
Would you rather have Cespedes or Braun?
I'd rather have Cespedes.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm going to agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you don't have Cespedes on your team, put him on your FanDuel team. I would have told everybody to start Jacob deGrom at the Padres and FanDuel last night, and I would have been wrong. But you know what? The great part about FanDuel is you don't have to deal with a lousy team for more than one day. You're stuck with a team you can't stand, you don't like. Why not try FanDuel? Play more fantasy baseball. Get a new team every day. Contests start at just $1. You can win some real money on FanDuel.com. And yeah, that's what I love about it. You start fresh every day, a new chance to win some money and enjoy a little fantasy baseball at the same time. Here's the offer for new users. You know the promo code by now. It's HOMERUN. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with that code HOMERUN, no spaces, one word. And if you enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. FanDuel.com, the offer code is HOMERUN. And that goes right into our next segment. We'll get to two-star pitchers in just a bit. But this segment is all about home runs. He homered again. Here are guys who just keep on homering. Chris Carter.
Adam Duvall must be on this list then, right?
Oh, he is. Oh, yeah. Chris Carter hit his 10th home run. Brandon Phillips has homered in two straight games. He now has 3 home runs and 3 steals. Jose Altuve hit his 9th home run. Oh, gosh, he's amazing. Jason Wirth. Jason Wirth, 3 home runs in his last 6 games, actually hitting pretty well after a terrible start. Ben Zobrist has hit a home run in 2 straight games to give him 3 for the year. And Adam Duvall, 5% owned, 3 straight games with a home run. So I gave you some names. Chris Carter, Phillips, Altuve, Wirth, Zobrist, Duvall. Discuss.
I mean, the only one on this list who's really kind of turning the dial for me is Altuve, and there's not much top end of the dial left to turn for him.
we didn't think
right. So he was at a 9, now he's at a 10, or in Spinal Tap terms maybe he's 11. But yeah, Phillips, I just can't get excited about. Carter, we knew he was capable of this kind of power binge, but we also know the downside that he's capable of.
I think maybe Wirth has gotten back to being a guy you start in 5 outfielder leagues, because it's pretty clear he hasn't aged out. I wish the batting average was better, but he's hitting for this much power still. I think that's going to happen. But yeah, Altuve is the one whose value has really changed. And I think it's legit. I mean, he's not going to hit 50 home runs like he's on pace for, but he might approach 30.
Next segment here. Are you worried about the following players? I'm guessing we'll get 4 no's, maybe 1 yes. Paul Goldschmidt.
No.
Nope.
JD Martinez.
No.
Nuh-uh.
Todd Frazier.
Nah.
Nah.
Adam Jones.
Yeah, maybe.
Get right.
There's,
yeah.
There's your one, right?
Getting a little worrisome, right, with Adam Jones?
It's worrisome to the point that I've dropped him behind like Cespedes and Braun. He's not dropping in my rankings the way like Carlos Gomez is.
Mm-hmm, right. Do you think you get a 27 home run season from Adam Jones this year?
My guess is still yes. And I really would be shocked if it's not 20 at least.
Okay. So there's still a lot of production left.
I've got some doubt. I mean, because, with, for example, somebody that I was going to talk about before, when we were guessing the first baseman, Miguel Cabrera, I mean, he's way off what he typically does, and the power's down a little bit, but there's nothing there that just screams to me that he's toast. But Jones is just hitting a lot of ground balls, and that for somebody that you do count on for some power, that's
I wonder how normal that is for him when he's slumping, though. I think Jones is always going to look worse when he's slumping, which every hitter does. I mean, we've seen it from Trout, we've seen it from Harper already this year, some longer than others, but every hitter goes through it. Because Jones walks so infrequently, like 20 to 25 walks a year, really bad, he does nothing for you when he's slumping, and it makes him look worse than he actually is. It's hard for me to say anything's wrong, because you can't really turn to that plate discipline issue for him, because it's always been so bad.
True. And it's actually, he's walking a lot more than he ever has.
Yeah.
And the plate discipline
has 8.
Yeah. So yeah, you can't really turn there, but just the lack of power to the extent that we're seeing it is something that worries me for Adam Jones.
You know one guy you left out if he homered again, Adam?
Who's that?
That just seems like a natural segue from Jones is Nick Castellanos.
Oh, yeah. He's in 3 up, so sure.
And maybe you talk about him a lot when Chris and or Heath are on, but it's getting to the point. It's kind of like Will Myers, where I look at the plate discipline. It's putrid. That makes me not want to believe in him. But also like Myers, Castellanos, even with putrid plate discipline in the minors, was still a highly, highly regarded prospect. So him being 24 and having this big surge in power after what was an improved second half last year, I'm starting to think this is a guy who can't really remain unowned anymore. And I don't even know what his ownership percentage
is. About 75%.
75? I don't feel like I've been seeing him scooped up in a lot of leagues, but I'm not saying, like, I'm not ready to bang the gavel and say he's awesome, but you can't take the chance of leaving this guy out there and then him having this monster breakthrough, because it's not, I mean, Adam Jones has shown you can have really bad plate discipline and still be a fantasy stud.
Castellanos is hitting .383 with 5 home runs. He is 75%. Would you rather have rest of season Castellanos or Travis Shaw?
Castellanos. I think there's a lot more upside there. I think there's big regression coming for Shaw in batting average. And that's mostly been what's carried him so far.
Yeah, and there's for both of them. But that said, yeah, I'll go to Castellanos.
Castellanos or Yasmani Tomas?
Tomas.
Yeah, I'll go Tomas now.
Yeah.
All right, I want to finish up here so we can help people out for next week and try to read some emails.
Don't you think we should celebrate Scott's mixed metaphor, though, of banging the gavel and saying you're awesome? Because I think that our justice system should work that way if somebody is not guilty.
I was actually going to say that Scott said it's getting to the point with Nick Castellanos, and I just wanted to sing Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Al, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. one of my all-time favorite songs. You like that song?
I do, yeah.
Oh, what a classic. I do think we need to talk about not Derek Holland. He was terrible. We could talk about him, but Kevin Gausman. 69% owned, 8 innings against the horrible Yankees, 3 hits, no runs, and he's got a 1.42 ERA and I think 3 starts so far. So does Kevin Gausman strike you as under-owned at 69%?
Just about right.
Yeah. I just don't know that he's ever going to... Maybe ever is too strong of a word, because we've seen Nathan Eovaldi pick that up, but he needs to come up with an off-speed pitch or else he's not going to get the strikeouts his fastball deserves to get.
Last night...
He actually has a split finger, by the way, but that's not enough of an off-speed pitch. That's really all he has to counter that fastball.
Last night my fiance told me not to break the remote control, because that's where I am with the Yankees right now. Like, I am in break hardware mode. They are pathetic.
Oh, just wait till they get Aroldis Chapman back. They'll be able to preserve all those.
Yeah, exactly. They'll lose in the 12th inning instead of the 11th inning going forward. All right, so let's do 2-star pitchers. Why not? Is every team playing like a million games next week?
It would seem. Yeah, there's a ton of 2-starters.
A lot of 2-star pitchers. This is crazy, but any concerns at all about Jacob deGrom, because one of the starts is at Colorado. He's at the Dodgers and at Colorado.
You know, I wouldn't go so far to say it's crazy, but I'm just the belief that you draft somebody of deGrom's caliber and you know, where you drafted him, and you have to trust him.
Yeah. What about Colorado? You trust?
I mean,
Mets?
Unless there was, again, when we were back talking about DeGrom earlier in the show, and I said, you know, there's not really, you know, any huge red flag for him. I mean, if there was something really drastic with him, maybe, but that's not the case.
Steven Matz are cool with too. Same matchups at the Dodgers, at the Rockies.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just looking for some. Okay. So we got, you know, Adam Conley. We got Kevin Gausman. What do you think about Conley? I'm assuming you guys are starting Milwaukee and at Washington.
For sure.
Gausman is at the Twins and home against Detroit. What do you think about Kevin Gausman?
Yeah, that's tough because I don't trust his consistency yet. I would probably go with him. Not my first choice, though.
Okay, I'll go down the list here. And Hector Santiago, St. Louis and at Seattle.
Yeah, his... The fastball velocity that made such a difference earlier was getting all those swings and misses. It's kind of gone back to normal, and we've seen the results follow suit. So he seems highly dangerous. Even in points leagues, I think you could do better with lower ownership.
And you know, I might have even trusted the older version of Hector Santiago with these matchups and venues. So, I mean, I know the Cardinals are hitting extremely well, but I think they're doing the bulk of that damage against righties. So I'm going to look into it for Santiago.
I was just about to say, actually, Al, because I looked this up 5 seconds ago, because our next pitcher is Scott Kazmir, who is facing the Mets and the Cardinals. And the Cardinal and those two teams, Mets and Cardinals, are 7th and 8th in OPS against lefties. So I don't know that they're not hitting righties well, but they're also hitting lefties well. So that brings us to Kazmir, Mets and Cardinals. Starter sit Scott Kazmir next week.
Yeah, I'm just not trusting him at this point, so I would definitely say Kazmir.
I think I'd start him. I'd be more likely to than Santiago. And I think he'd probably, well, I don't know. I'm not especially high on him, but I think for the two start week, I'd have to go with him.
Let's find some pitchers who are more available, about 50% owned or less. Mike Fiers, Cleveland and at Boston.
Now that's an inconsistent pitcher, and at Boston is pretty scary. Yeah. It would only in a points league would I even consider it.
Well, you know what? Why don't we rank these pitchers? Fiers, Cleveland and at Boston. Ruby De La Rosa at Colorado and San Francisco. He'll probably be toward the bottom.
Yes.
Anibal Sanchez at Washington and at Baltimore. Colby Lewis, White Sox and Blue Jays at home. And Tyler Chatwood, 2 home starts.
What?
I don't really want any rough of them.
It's getting ugly.
Yeah, in that group, unfortunately, I think I lost track of all. Oh, you know what? In that group, I'm going Anibal because he's shown some improvement. I know 2 starts ago, he walked 7 batters. But he seems to be coming around, and really everybody in that group is pretty nerve-wracking for a 2-start week. So it's close between him and Fiers. I think I'll go Anibal and then Fiers.
Okay, how about the next group? I'll give you 3 this time. Clay Buchholz has 2 home starts against the A's and the Astros. Alex Wood has home starts against the Mets and Cardinals. And Mike Leake is at the Angels and at the Dodgers. No, who the heck is starting Mike Leake at this point? Clay Buchholz, Alex Wood, and then forget Leake. How about Michael Fulmer? Buchholz, Wood, and Fulmer is at Washington and at Baltimore.
You just made this easy for me anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, because Fulmer's the only one I've really got interest in.
Well, I don't even know that it's for sure he's going to stick around for these 2 starts because he wasn't good yesterday. You know, 2 home runs, 10 hits allowed in 5 innings. Did have more than a strikeout per inning, but I haven't gotten the latest update on Daniel Norris or
Shane Green.
Shane Green. I'm not sure if his DL stint will end by next week.
And Norris is just in AAA, so they could bring him up anytime.
Yeah.
Last I looked, it wasn't going well.
I could understand rostering Fulmer, but how could you start him at Washington and at Baltimore? I mean,
if you're offering me those choices.
Yeah, well, you could just say a blanket no to all of them. I mean, I've read a lot of names. There's honestly the only one so far that I would consider picking up, and I don't even know if I'd start him, but maybe just stash him, is Clay Buchholz.
Well, I could see rolling the dice on Alex Wood in a points league because if this last start was bad, and obviously 2 starts ago was great against the Padres, so, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
But he felt good about the mechanical change he made before the Padres start that he credited for the improved production. He felt good about that still after this last start. And what was interesting about the last start for Wood, he allowed 3 home runs in that game. That was the cause of all the badness. He's a ground ball pitcher. He'd only allowed 1 home run in all his other starts combined. So it seems like a situation where maybe that mechanical adjustment has really made that big of a difference, and he just happened to run into some bad luck with the home runs there last time out. So I'm not saying I'm looking to pick him up in all my points leagues, but if I was desperate to get a second start, I could see that Wood surprising with those 2 starts this week.
I'm not going to read everybody else. There are some seriously bad pitchers here, but Matt Whistler is facing the Phillies, and he's at the Royals, and Whistler's 27% owned.
Think about that. Now, the Phillies, you know, have been surprisingly good.
But not their offense.
The fact that he gets them at home, and then he goes to Kansas City, and I don't like to, you know, pick based on the matchups, but I do hope that that sticks with him going against Medlin, because Medlin's been awful.
Yeah.
And I just think that those are decent matchups for Whistler, yeah. And you're keeping him out of ballparks that are going to be bad for him.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Kansas City, too, they're a worse matchup for power pitchers because they're so good at making contact. Like, I feel like the expectations, they're less likely to dash a contact pitcher like Whistler's, are expectations for him.
So I think Whistler's interesting, and then a little bit deeper, Devensky, Cleveland and at Boston. And I don't know if you care at all about Cesar Vargas at the Cubs and at Milwaukee.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Dan Straley's not been bad.
Dan Straley's got the Pirates and the Phillies on the road. Pirates at home, Phillies on the road.
Well, Colin Ray hasn't been bad. We didn't talk about him. He almost threw a no-hitter yesterday.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry about that. Ray has two starts at the Cubs and at Milwaukee. He's got a 2.37 ERA so far.
No, yeah, no thanks. Not against the Cubs.
The Cubs probably kills that. But I'm keeping an eye on Ray because he's really only had one bad start all year. There were a couple non-quality starts otherwise where he didn't go six innings, but only one start where, and it was a dreadful start. That's like all the damage done to his ERA so far.
Yeah, I was wrong about his ERA. It's 3.82, I think. It's 2.37 in Ray's last three starts.
I'm sorry.
No, yeah, go ahead.
No, just, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, we went through a bunch of guys who are like 50-40% owned, and I really didn't like any of them. But yeah, as we go deeper here, you know, with Whistler and then even some of these pitchers below 10% ownership, I'm more interested in them. There's Devensky, as you mentioned. Adam Morgan, the line wasn't good the other night against Cardinals, but there were, I think it was the fourth, in either the fourth or the fifth inning, two challenges. So he sat around on the mound for, I think, close to 10 minutes.
Come on, Al. You're making excuses for your
boy. No, he was cruising along until the first challenge, which was 5 minutes long.
All right. Well, he also has
a
great matchup.
Guy,
he's got the Braves and the Reds.
The Braves, yeah. And then the Reds. Mm-hmm. That's pretty nice.
All right. Take a shot there. Let's read some emails to finish the show here on this fun Friday. Seis de Mayo. Nick says, Chris inspired me with his sell high article. Give up Michael Conforto and Vince Velasquez for Nelson Cruz and Shelby Miller. Give up Conforto and Velasquez for Nelson Cruz and Shelby Miller.
I don't love it. Yeah. I don't love it. I may be believing in Conforto a little more than Chris is. And I do think Cruz is still the best player in this deal. But to me, the downgrade from Velasquez to Miller, I don't hate it either, but I think I'd really have to feel not good about the state of my outfield. And it's hard because you're not even gaining an outfielder in the process. You're just swapping one out for I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Shelby Miller thing that's probably killing you.
Yeah, that kills it.
Yeah. This is from John Devote. He says, Dear Jones, LaRoche, and Conley.
And Azer.
Please tell me if it's okay to start Zach Greinke at Colorado or Justin Verlander at Baltimore next week.
I think it's okay to start either.
Okay. I wouldn't want to start Greinke if I had viable alternatives.
Neil,
I don't know
asks,
that I'm picking up like a two-start Alex Wood to sit him, but I don't love the idea.
Neil wants to know if you would rather have Ian Kennedy, Rick Porcello, or Adam Wainwright. How would you rank Kennedy, Porcello, and Wainwright?
Well, this is tough because right now I think I still have Wainwright ahead of Porcello, but I definitely want Porcello over Wainwright. So I'm having trust issues with Kennedy still, so I'll go Porcello, Wainwright, Kennedy.
And I'll go Wainwright, Kennedy, Porcello.
I'm just looking at something that is absolutely shocking to me. Would you believe that the Cincinnati Reds have scored two more runs than the Baltimore Orioles this year?
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
Yeah. I don't know that the Reds are that good of a matchup. We were talking about it with Adam Morgan. Like, I always said this. Their order, if you believe in Suarez and Cozart, then you've got Votto who's going to come around. You got Jay Bruce. I was always like, you got Mesoraco. You don't have that anymore. It's not like they're not that bad, you know? They're not the Padres.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I don't think it's a terrible matchup, but it's not a scary one to me either.
I don't know how much I believe in Suarez and Cozart. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But it is amazing that they've done that well with Votto stinking up the joint.
And with, right. But side note, their bullpen is pathetic. And 23 in a row.
The streak
now
continues, right?
Yep. Paulie P wants to know if you would drop Yasmani Tomas for any of the following: Brandon Drury, David Peralta, Carlos Gomez.
I'm not looking to drop Tomas, but I would much rather have Peralta. So if that's the choice, yes.
Well, I'm scared of Gomez, but I can't let him go on own.
I can.
Really? You're to the point of dropping Carlos Gomez.
I thought it was a question of picking him up.
Well,
picking up Gomez.
I can
leave him out on waiver, sure.
You can leave, okay.
Yeah.
So you might, okay. I guess it's slightly different because if nobody else has picked him up yet, there's some hope
got him on my roster, and I guess if there's somebody, you know, something crazy happens where somebody drops somebody I really like. But if I've already invested in him and there's no cost, that's one thing. But to drop somebody to get Gomez, unless it's somebody I really consider Deadwood, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I would definitely drop Tomas for Gomez. So there's a difference there.
And the other thing is that Tomas is on his bench. So that's where you want upside. You want upside on your bench. I mean, if you're not even starting,
I'm not saying Tomas doesn't have upside,
but Gomez,
there's a great big chance I'm wrong about Gomez. Great big chance. I would put it at least 33 to 40% chance I'm wrong on Gomez, and I'm for the cost of nothing basically. I mean, the worst player on my roster, presumably in this case, is Tomas. I'll bet against myself.
And Paul in Los Angeles traded Jose Altuve in a 6x6 roto league. He needs pitching, so he gave up Altuve and Brandon Belt. He got Strasburg, Greinke, Kipnis, and Mazzara. He gave up Altuve and Belt for Strasburg, Greinke, Kipnis, and Mazzara.
Yeah, well, Chris talked about selling high on Altuve. I think that's a pretty good job of doing it.
Not good enough for me.
Oh, that's good enough for me.
I think the only sell-high trade for Altuve for me right now is Trouter Harper.
Mm.
Anything short of them.
Goldschmidt?
I mean,
Goldschmidt?
No, I don't think I would trade Altuve straight up for Goldschmidt right now.
Okay. Well, that's going to conclude our show. Cletus in Fort Wayne, you should drop Mike Wright for Henderson Alvarez. Agreed?
Yes. Okay. Definitely agreed.
Works for me. Thank you for listening to us play the Fantasy Feud and guess movie names and things like that for the last hour. Hope you're doing better in week 5 than I am, but Al, I'm coming for you this weekend, so.
I'm scared of your rotation.
Watch out, Podcast League.
Some real trash talk by Al there.
For Al Belgior and Scott White.
Call it like I see it.
I'm Adam Azer.
See you later.